Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all the peoples of earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love. Empower our lives for service and our tongues for praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, you notice that there aren't any children coming forward for the children's sermon, but they've already gone off to Sunday school. Oh, okay. But I would like to ask Darlene to come forward. Darlene Truver is heading out on a mission trip, and we're going to bless her on this journey. Today we give God thanks and seek God's blessings as we send Darlene to Malawi, Africa. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth in thanksgiving with the many blessings we have received. Renew in us the commitment to use our gifts in service of others, and especially of those in need. Let us be your hands to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and outcast, welcome the stranger, care for creation, and be loving neighbors to all people. Bless Darlene, who goes out from here to labor in Malawi. Prosper the work of her hands and those of the hands of her team from the La Jolla Presbyterian Church. Bless those who receive them and the fruits of their labor. And may those who are sent receive blessing in return. May the gifts they use and share be the sign of your love for all people. To you, be glory and honor through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit in your church now and forever. And may God bless you and give you strength in your journey.
A reading from Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, look, they are one people and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech. The word of the Lord. A reading from, Psalm. Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you
send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
May the earth
and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke.
I will sing.
Words of mine, please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered, and they said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe in me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to my Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Last week I was with a couple of my pastor friends, and we were talking, as pastors are always doing, we were talking about who's going to be preaching on what text, and my friend said, oh, I'm going to preach on the Tower of Babel because I love to tell the story about God's big toe. What? So then she told me this story, this Jewish midrash, that the reason that the Tower of Babel was built is this story. There was a little girl who was very curious, and she said to her mother, Mom, you have a big toe. Daddy has a big toe. I have a big toe. Does God have a big toe? But maybe the Tower of Babel was built to satisfy a little girl's curiosity. Does God have a big toe? But whatever the inspiration of the construction, that tower, the people of Babel had moved God out of the center of their lives and put themselves in that core place, put themselves at the center. When I was growing up, we had a very sensitive washing machine. It was in the basement, up on a wooden pallet, maybe a foot up off the floor. And the wash cycle was uneventful. But when the spin cycle started, just watch out. The slightest imbalance would have that machine thumping and shaking and threatening to dance right off of that pallet. So we always had to leave the basement door open when we were putting clothes in the washer, had to leave that basement door open and an ear tuned to hear when that thumping started and then make a mad dash downstairs to try to prevent disaster. When things get out of balance, chaos ensues. When the center of life, of your life, of my life, is not God, chaos ensues. That's what happened at Babel. The chaos of a people who do not understand one another, who do not try to find cooperation or common ground, is unsettling, is out of balance. The chaos of the people thrown off balance when God is replaced with self at the center of their existence. It seems like we're still out of balance. We don't understand one another, even when we speak the same language. We're too often blocked by our simple inability to accept the differences among us, among how we live and what we believe. At Babel, the people acted with pride and built a tower to reach God on their own power. And God scattered them. God predicted that this was only the beginning of what they would try to do. God knew that they would be off balance without God at the center. We try to reach God by our own efforts, by our own hard work. We want it our way. So we move God aside from the center and put ourselves in the center. We put our own opinions in the center, in that place that belongs to God. At Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes down to the disciples and brings them together again, brings us together again. Those who were scattered were gathered, and God is at the center once again. Pentecost is the answer to Babel. There are great differences among us. Differences of language and culture, wealth and poverty, how we were raised and how we live now. All of that, all of those differences were scattered, were thrown away by that violent wind, by that burning fire that burns away all the differences. It doesn't matter now after Pentecost, whether we are Parthians, Medes, or Elamites. It doesn't matter if we are Mexican or American or Asian, whether our skin is pale or dark, whatever our gender or economic status or our lifestyle. What matters is who is at the center, who is at our core. What matters is that we are balanced with God in the center. We celebrate Pentecost every year, 50 days after Easter. We put on our red clothes and we decorate our church in red. We sing the songs of the Holy Spirit and we celebrate this day that the church was born. We do it upright. Pentecost is this day that we remember that the church was born. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit made evident with the tongues of fire. For the children's sermon, I was going to teach the window. We have a Holy Spirit window here, the last window on the back here, with the tongues of fire, with the image of the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove, and the hands in prayer. As the disciples were praying, the Spirit came upon them. Important enough to the builders of this church that we have a Holy Spirit window to tell this story of the beginning of the church. That tongues of fire, the rushing wind, created a community of believers that were empowered to share that good news of Jesus Christ. And so the disciples did. They went out and preached and taught all over the world. Those who were in Jerusalem for the festival heard the disciples preaching in their own language, and many came to believe. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it says 3,000 were baptized that day. Many came to believe that Jesus is God's chosen Messiah. But if we leave Pentecost in first century Palestine, we aren't doing it right. Pentecost didn't just happen once a long time ago. There are stories in the Acts of the Apostles that show that it continued to happen day after day. Philip baptizing the Ethiopian, Paul being converted, Peter preaching and doing miracles. There are many stories in the Bible of the continuing power of the Holy Spirit that starts at Pentecost but continues throughout the history of the early church. But it doesn't stop with the early church, with the Acts of the Apostles. There is even more stories in the ongoing history of the church that we might call another Pentecost. The flourishing of the church during the Middle Ages, the Reformation, the missionary movement that took that word of God from Europe and Asia into North America and Africa and indeed the whole world. And it's not just big events. Pentecost happens right here as well. Our children go off to Sunday school and they hear the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. We bless and send missionaries to Mexico and to Africa. Last year we had a great Pentecost experience when we ordained Joshua. And it's Pentecost again whenever we splash the waters of baptism over the newest Christians, and when we are splashed again and we remember our baptism. Pentecost isn't over. We shouldn't be surprised to hear that. Pentecost is an ongoing event. In the gospel reading today, Jesus makes an amazing promise to his disciples. He called and he said that even though you have a hard time believing what he says, what Jesus says, based on his words alone, at least believe because of the works that you have seen him do. And then Jesus goes on to say, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. This is one of the most amazing promises in Scripture. We, who believe in Jesus, will do greater works than Jesus. Feeding the hungry, preaching, teaching, healing, giving life to the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe that promise that God, that Jesus made? That we who believe in him will do greater works than even he did. You know, Jesus never traveled out of that little town, that little country. And here we are going all over the world doing broader proclamation than Jesus did. Look around and see Pentecost happening. I see Pentecost continuing. Last week at our council meeting, we shared some faith stories, and I heard faith being shared from parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and neighbors. I see Pentecost continuing by you, by people who claim the power of God in their lives, even in the midst of struggles. I see Pentecost fire burning in you as you reach out in mercy and love to those who are in pain, as you reach into your pockets to share with those who have so much less, as you spend your free time, your weekends and vacation time in service to others. The truth of that Pentecost fire is that the more I look for it, the more I see it. I would recommend this to you, to look for Pentecost fire. Look for evidence of balance. Look for cooperation, for work being done for the sake of others. Look for fires of enthusiasm for the things of God. Look for enthusiasm for the Word of God. Fires of Pentecost. And as we look for those fires of Pentecost in our daily lives, in our own lives and in the lives of others, that fire is rekindled in us as we look for it in others. So keep God as the center and keep those Pentecost fires burning brightly. Not only here in our church, but all throughout our community. Wherever you go this afternoon and tomorrow and next week and in the days and weeks to come, look for those Pentecost fires. Look for that enthusiasm, that cooperation, that balance. And you'll be surprised how often and where you see that, and claim that for the work of the Spirit in your life as well. Amen.